Had you actually read the email, you would know that the podcast you are about to listen to could contain explicit language
and offensive content.
These HR experts' views are not representative of their past, present, or future employers. If you've ever heard, "My manager is unfair to me,"
"I need you to reset my HR portal password,"
or
"Can I write up my employee for crying too much?"
Welcome to our little safe zone. Welcome to Jaded HR.
Welcome to Jaded HR, the podcast by two HR professionals who want to help you get through the workday by saying all the things you're thinking, but say them out loud. I'm Warren.
I'm Cece.
All right. Well, I did not mention at the top or any part of last episode, we're doing the AMA for our fourth anniversary special. We're going to have a special guest involved. So please send us your information. And in the show notes, there's actually going to be a phone number you can call to leave us a text or voicemail of your question. If you leave us a voicemail, it comes to me in MP3 format. I can play your voice on the line and things like that. So, yeah, I definitely want to get your questions in. We'll try and do some social media posts for the AMA. Get your questions in here. But that's just in a couple of weeks away, two episodes or three episodes away. I can't even count right now. But also, as always, we have to thank Hallie, the original Jaded HR rock star, and we'll thank Bill, our other Patreon supporter. You can be like them, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes. But this has been, had some exciting things going on. Also, want to apologize for the poor audio quality. I'm recording in the worst possible environment. I'm in a new room, new house, and there's nothing on the walls, no carpet, nothing. And I can hear even with the headphones and the echoing. So hopefully some good editing can take care of that. But we had some other cool things happen since we were last on air. We got another review on Apple, and I'm sorry, I have not checked the international reviews in a very, very long time, but Brandon NB wrote on Apple, "Funny and informational." Now that line, that's actually the goal here. I want to be funny. I want to inform people. I want to, you know, I don't want to be a lecture podcast. I listen to enough of those on my own. But Brandon writes, "As a student majoring in HR, and I don't know why the hell you're doing that. We haven't convinced you not to do that yet.
Save yourself, Brandon.
There's still time. Turn back. Do not go towards the light. But as a student majoring in HR and about to go into the workforce, this podcast has given me an idea of what situations I might run into while working in HR, as well as making me laugh nearly every episode." Only nearly? Come on. I hope we'll try and improve upon that. But no, thank you, Brandon, for leaving us a review. That is so helpful. It helps us be seen by others in the downloads, and so they can find us and also rate and review us. So go on your favorite podcast app and rate, review us.
Yeah, that helps us. That helps us.
It definitely does. And then, you know, Feathers and I talked forever about us being ranked as high as number 2 under comedy podcasts in Swaziland. Well, we've got a new contender.
Oh my God.
We're in the top 100. We're actually currently 73 under Apple Podcast Comedy for the country of Barbados. So thank you from Barbados. While it's cold and nasty out here, let's plan a visit to Barbados to visit our friend there who is enjoying the show. So thank you very much for downloading us out there in Barbados.
Does that mean we can go and do a live happy hour in Barbados?
Exactly. That's what I want to do. A meet and greet. Live happy hour meet and greet there.
Awesome. I'm down.
Yeah. So somebody's going to need to sponsor that trip because I cannot afford that.
But, we're looking for sponsors to sponsor this trip.
Yes. And we are not too proud to beg for that. So Okay, well, I've got a couple of other things, two follow-ups from our last episode. In the last episode, we talked about your friends asking you about your former position. Well, a friend of mine who listens to the podcast and refused to come on the air, so I should out you by name and all that sort of fun stuff, but I won't. But they said, they told me a story. They had a person saw they had a position in Lake, was contacting them on LinkedIn and all their social media channels to find out, oh, you were this position at this company. Tell me about that. I'm like, that just gets weird. If you're asking for information about someone's former employer from someone you don't know at all, I mean, wow. But they said they looked up and their former position was hiring, or they were hiring for a position they held once upon a time again. And he told me that he basically knows why, because it just, the job sucked. But to be like hounded on Facebook and LinkedIn about this job is like, okay, that's called stalking, people. That's a different thing than what we do.
So I think of like two things. One, I don't know you. So I'm going to like probably give you the most PC answer. And like, I'm not going to, as if it was a friend, like if a friend of mine came up to me, I'm like, let me tell you what's really going on behind closed doors. If it's just some person on LinkedIn, I'm probably going to be like, well, like any organization, it does have its challenges. But then like the other piece of it is I kind of feel like this is some networking advice that someone's been given along the way. Like open the door on LinkedIn by like talking to someone and reaching out to them and asking them, because in reality, like you probably don't know that person. Like, I don't know. I'm just thinking like it's a way to get your foot in the door. So then at some point after a few back and forths via DM, you can like be like, you know what? You seem cool. I can definitely put you in contact with the right person. So that's what I kind of feel like. I feel like it's inauthentic.
Yeah. One of those awful career coaches out there that Dan from HR likes to bust. So giving some information like that. Yeah. Stalk someone on LinkedIn for who used to work there. But anyways, I thought that was really, really weird. My friend said they did not respond at all to the Facebook messages or the LinkedIn messages. So
I don't know. I probably would fall for the bait. I would.
Well,
the only thing I get on LinkedIn now are just like sponsored messages. If I get something from someone who's legit wants to know something from me, I'd be like, let's be friends forever.
Oh, your LinkedIn has just exploded. You're going
to, right?
I don't post on LinkedIn. I do a lot of liking and thumbs up and things, very rarely even comment. I'm on there constantly.
LinkedIn has kind of become a little bit of a tool, so I do stay off of it.
It has. It's gone downhill a lot, especially we're getting a political season, and I don't go to LinkedIn for political crap, and don't want to see that.
My favorite right now, because we're in Women's History Month, is when someone posts something about Women's History Month or women in the workplace, there's always the people who feel the need to comment their like and like slightly sexist views on things. And I'm like, oh, who are you? Because I want to make sure I'm never going to work with you, buddy.
And the thing is, these people, you do that all the time. They make these on, especially LinkedIn, you know, stupid comments on Facebook are a dime a dozen, but LinkedIn's supposed to be the business networking place. And people are just so flipping stupid with the comments they put in there. I'm like, really? Oh, I wouldn't follow that law. Okay. Nice that you published to the whole world. I saw someone say that on one of the lawyers. I follow a lot of employment law lawyers, and I just wouldn't do that. Well, you just send a big red flag to anybody down the road that when they have a problem with you, they're going to look at this post. Which other laws are you choosing not to follow? I think so. Well, the other follow-up from last episode was we talked really briefly, just passing, about being prepared to take time off from work. So that's when you find where the bodies are buried. Well, I tried to take some time off last week, and it didn't work out. I mean, I took the time off, but I was on the phone constantly or on the computer doing things just because the nature of the beast. But it did result one of those things that the shit hit the fan while I'm out, which actually I was talking to my boss and she was apologizing. I'm sorry we had to bug you so much on your time off. And she's so nice about things like that. And I'm like, well, it shows you what I'm doing that you don't always know what I'm doing when I'm here. I'm managing these things without anybody else being in the loop. But one of these issues resulted in a termination, which happened. And so I'm in my office before a termination meeting. I want the manager to do a lot of the work, but I'm there for, you know, to give them all the benefits. So your benefits will run out at the end of the month and da, 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 da. And this is how it's going to happen. And COBRA administrator is this. And I just give all the, you know, other things. Well, I'm typing my notes to make sure I have everything ready for this. I don't want to look like the people from, what was it, Cloudflare, that weren't prepared for the termination meeting at all. I'm prepared. I have a little like bullet points of anything I need to do. But I got an instant message from the manager. He said, I already let them know. I'm under the assumption she's getting a written warning, but you changed your mind. I'm like, oh, here comes the bus. Beep, beep.
Wait, what?
Their message, I copied and pasted it into my notes here. I already let them know that I'm under the assumption that they're getting a written warning, but you changed your mind.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So I'm the decision maker, the end all be all of that. I'm like, this is going to be weird, but yeah, I like this manager. They're a real up and comer, but they just don't have a lot of experience. And we are going to have a discussion about that.
That's fantastic. And in writing.
Hopefully too. There's not a next time. So anyways, that was part of my fun stuff, but new business, you had a couple things. So where do you want to start?
I don't even know anymore. So kind of, I'm going to piggyback on the prepping to leave. I am about 6 weeks away from my due date. So super excited, super horrified all at the same time. And now we're looking at our org and talent review for 2024, which doesn't happen until October. But now about 6 weeks before I leave, there's a push to redesign the process. So I'm like working on that right now. No pressure at all. Just have like 6 weeks to figure it out. Cool. But yeah, so that was the...
Along with everything else.
Along with everything else, too. And then on top of that, I just want everyone to know that you are now in the presence of a talent management award winner. So I have
congrats on that.
Thank you. Thank you. I have won my first industry award. So I am a 2023 trailblazer, according to Chief Talent Officer Magazine.
All righty.
So
now, we were discussing online. There are some awards that are just political, pay to play type awards. Hey, give us your $150 and fill out this form, and you're going to get an award. You know, and this obviously is not one of those, yeah. But they're good awards, and there are some not so good awards. And then so that sounds like a really good one. I think, hey, good job. You should be proud.
No, I have not won an award since the middle school science fair. So super stoked.
Okay. Now, don't let anybody know that you co-host the podcast because they might come, we changed our mind.
No, right? They'd be like, oh God, we're done, rescinded. But it is kind of exciting to get a little nerdy. I basically like redesigned our performance management process. So I did crazy things. Like we went from a 5-point scale to a 3-point scale. We also got rid of a forced distribution. So we gave managers.
Oh, I hate forced distribution.
The autonomy to actually make decisions.
Manage and do their job, you mean?
Which the managers loved, to be honest. Okay, and if anyone is thinking about getting rid of forced distribution out there, just to let you know, our natural distribution, like, is the same exact same curve. So I just want you know, it's possible when you trust your managers to do the right thing, they'll do the right thing. So anyway, super excited about that. I get a sweet trophy and life is good. It's going to be behind me in my I'm going to call it a trophy case now. There's not one trophy in there, but there will be one trophy.
There's a Grogu, though.
Yes, it'll be next to Grogu. So, yeah.
Oh, no, congrats. That's so exciting.
I will say, I do want to quote Ronald Ulysses Swanson here for those Parks and Recreations fans.
Oh.
Awards are stupid, but they'd be less stupid if they were given to the right people. So, thank you.
Yes.
Chief Talent Officer Publications.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm a huge Ron Swanson fan. I like a lot of his memes, and they're so HR inappropriate, which makes him just so awesome across the board. Actually, this wasn't on my show notes, but I think it was last week I had texted you and Feathers about a situation that I found myself in, a little gotcha journalism coming up. So we all know my stance on solicitors, how they are scum of the earth, but right next to them are bad journalists are right there. And so I got a phone call, and it was a journalist from a newspaper, an out-of-town newspaper, and they tell me their name, and I've already forgotten it, and their publication, which I forgot immediately as I was trying to tell you what it was, and I didn't know. But anyways, she wanted a statement from me about a situation that had made some national news, and it was with a company that has a similar name to my company, but not the same name. And I'm like, I'd have no clue at all what you're speaking about. And you're saying that this didn't happen. I'm saying I don't have the first clue what you're talking about. And she was like trying to egg me into saying something stupid. And I'm like, I don't know who you think you're calling or what company. And I said, I'm with this company. I don't know who you think you're calling. I have no clue. I had to go Google the situation. And then I found an article on it, and it's a similar company. But anyways, if you've done that much homework to find who I am to try and get me to get a statement, at least try the right company. I mean, it was just lazy, bad journal. Well, I wouldn't say lazy if you can do that type of homework, but it was just bad journalism, trying to badger me into saying something stupid. Just come on. Anyways, that was, and she irritated me. So anywho, but speaking of journalism, article I read it on Yahoo Finance, but they attribute it to Fortune magazine. The author is Oriana Rosa Royal. Indeed surveyed 1,500 businesses and 1,500 working people in the United Kingdom and found that job ghosting is rife. 75% of workers saying they've ignored prospective employer in the last year. And I was like, 75%? And then I would have to think, I think that's awfully high, but I think they need to define their premise a little bit more. I'd like to talk to you about this job on LinkedIn all the time, which is probably nothing even. I got a few months ago a customer service job. We want to use your customer service experience and da da da. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm a really good customer facing person, but those I ignore. So if you're contacting me for something legit, I probably wouldn't even answer. I love where I'm at anyway. But anyways, 93% of Gen Zs told global recruitment platform Indeed that they've flaked out on an interview. And then 87% have said they managed to charm their way through interviews to secure a job, sign on, and then leave their new boss stranded on the very first day. And they say that Gen Zers say this makes them feel in charge of their career.
Wait.
Anyways.
Where'd they get that quote from?
I don't know. Fortune magazine. So it's, I consider it a legitimate source.
Oh, I was going to say, I have questions because there is a piece of me, like, I think Gen Z feels a little justified because about 2 years ago when I was looking for a job, do you know how many recruiters ghosted me? And not to say, like, I wouldn't ghost someone, because I feel like I do have a little bit of the professional maturity to be like, I don't want to be the one to ghost. But I think Gen Z has probably been ghosted a lot, and they're probably like, done. Like, if you can ghost me, I'll ghost you. Like, is this the language we're talking? Okay.
Well, two things on that. The article later on goes to say that more than half think that since employers ghost job seekers, it's okay to do it back. And a third of companies agreed with that sentiment. But here's what I think. When does it become ghosting? If you just apply for a job and you don't hear anything, is that ghosting? Or do you have to actually have some human contact first for it to be considered ghosting? Where does the ghosting fall in play for what counts as ghosting?
Yeah. See, my definition, if I've had at least a phone screen with you and you then say that you're going to call me back, but I never hear from you again until I get an automated rejection letter, that is a ghost.
Yeah. That's what I think, too. I think you have to have some human interaction first before you can say you're ghosted with that. So anyways, that was that. Almost half of those surveyed say they plan on pulling a disappearing act again, and a third of them deemed it acceptable to do so before an interview. So ditching an interview.
See, I don't know. See, that's where I'm like, there has to be that professional maturity, because if I had the interview, I'm not going to just ghost. Like, if something else comes up, like a better job offer or something, I'm at least going to write you an email, so I'm not wasting your time, because at that point, that's just disrespectful.
I told my daughter, when she was a teenager, she was working, trying to find a retail job. She interviewed and got offered a job on the spot with one retail place, but they paid like 25 cents over minimum wage. And she accepted. And then later that day, another retail called and said that they were going to offer like $4 an hour more. And she's like, what do I do? I said, okay, well, take the $4, but call the other person and say, hey, I do want to thank you. I said, you never know when you're going to run into them again. They may leave that company and they'll be somewhere else. They could be a coworker of yours down the line. I said, just don't burn. And I said, they will remember you if you do something like that. And she did, thankfully, one of the few times she listens to me. But I said, just call them and say, hey, I want to thank you, but I've gotten another job offer I want to accept. And that's all you have to say. And yep. And she did. But yeah, there's. But she did not want to do it. I basically twisted her arm.
You got to do it. I will say, you do never know when people are going to pop back up in your life again. Because I had left a company and then I tried to interview for a different role within the company a couple years later. And I had a horrendous interview with the hiring manager, who was just really condescending. And really just, like, so glad. I honestly did pull out of that role. I threw an email. But a year after that, I was in my new role. And I was in the position of the recruiter. And this guy, like, pops back up. And, I mean, he's whistling a different tune because now he's the one being interviewed. And all I can remember was, like, my feedback was, I've had experience with this person. My experience wasn't really positive. He was a little condescending, XYZ, and he didn't move on to the next round. So you really need to beware of how you come off to people, because you don't know when you're going to face them again later in your career.
Exactly. And HR is a small world. You're in a larger metropolitan area than I am, but I see names all the time of people I either know or at least recognize the name. I was like, oh, you know, there, I can, you know, do that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon with virtually any name I hear out there, because I've been it. And maybe it's a little different in a larger area, but I don't think so. Yeah. It's HR. There's only so much. Well, the final takeaways I took from this article were that Gen Zers, as I mentioned, say they feel emboldened by ghosting their companies, but older workers who do it say they instantly regret it. And more than half of Gen Zers are repeat offenders. Companies, once again, 1 in 5 workers complain that prospective employers fail to show up for a phone interview. 23% have been provided with a verbal offer and then been left hanging. So employers do it too, but it can't be at the same level that the employees are, unless there's just a lot of really, really bad recruiters out there. I mean, how hard is it to hit the decline button and all ATSs have can send automatic email as soon as you hit that decline? Boof, dear Warren, thank you for applying, but we've decided to go another direction. Wish you all the best in the future. Sayonara. So I don't know.
I would love to, and this is, of course, the nerd in me. I would love to see the breakdown. I'm going to guess if it's Gen Z, it's mostly entry-level jobs, like, or early career roles. But I want to see what the distribution of that is, of the no call, no show on the first day after an offer. Because that horrifies me. Like, as someone who used to recruit, the job posting, the pre-screening, the interviewing, the getting the offer through, the having the offer, like, those steps for you not to show up, like, your name is going to be ingrained in my memory forever.
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 I remember back in, but no, absolutely. I can only count on a handful of times when somebody has no-showed to a job on their first day without any calling or anything like that. It's happened a few times, but not that often. Well, I had one more thing, and you sort of segued into it, being an HR nerd. So I mentioned I've moved. I've bought some new furniture. I'm too cheap to have it delivered because they wanted like something stupid like $900 to deliver where I live. So I rented a truck anyways, go to the warehouse to pick up my furniture. And you go in and you have to check in and give them your name. And they tell you whether, you know, that they have all the stuff and things like that. But there's these signs, like computer printed, like 8.5 by 11 white piece of paper signs all over. Like I can see through the glass window where I check in. And these emails say, per Guido, no food in the front area. Per Guido, do not front and park in front of the building. Per Guido, you must clock out for your breaks. And just all these signs. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, is this like an inside joke I'm not getting? Because there were so many of them and they all started per Guido. And I was like, is this some sort of slurish thing? That's what I thought. My curiosity is going all over the place. And I wanted to ask, and I didn't ask, but as I, well, anyways, one of the posters were per Guido, you cannot accept tips from our customers. And then on the outside of the building where you go to actually, after you check in and say, I'm here to pick up this, that, and the other thing, you go around to pick it up and there's signs like all over. I'm not kidding you. There must have been 6 or 8 signs. No tipping our employees. Employers are not allowed to be tipped. But while I was out there behind the warehouse waiting for him to load up my truck, I saw Guido. I was halfway relieved because it wasn't some sort of slurish type thing or anything, as he had his name tag on. And I was halfway relieved, but I was also halfway. So you have to put all these signs up everywhere to tell your employees little stupid things. Don't park in front of the building, or no tip. Do not accept tips and things like that. I'm like, that's really, really weird. But I didn't talk to Guido. I just saw him and I saw his name tag on his shirt there. But as I'm waiting, one of their employees came back from, I'm assuming, a break or a lunch or something like that. And as that employee walked by me, I could have gotten high off the fumes he was propagating there and walked between me and Guido. So Guido definitely had it. I'm like, the HR nerd me once again in my brain. I was like, oh God, I hope he's not doing something like driving a forklift or doing something like dangerous work. You know, if he's just pulling boxes out, okay, fine. Probably still not smart, but not as dangerous as driving a forklift or anything else out there. It was just a really weird thing. All these signs, per Guido.
Guido doesn't Guido doesn't want you to accept tips, but he's totally okay with you token up in the parking lot.
Yeah, if you tip your guys well, they can buy an extra nickel bag and have more fun. But anyways.
Yeah, just as well, you know, just don't cause any reasonable suspicion issues.
Oh man, it was funny, but yeah, it's weird how being in HR so long, you think where you're out in public about HR related issues, like, you know, they shouldn't be doing that or all sorts of weird stuff, or how are they getting away with that? I wonder.
Oh my gosh,
it's interesting.
I'm the same way, because I worked all through college and grad school. I was in a restaurant, or the restaurant industry, and there every to this day, if I go out to eat, I'm always looking around me to see what servers are doing, how they're giving guest service, like guests good service, and yada yada. I'll be like, oh, you know, they didn't check back at a table within 2 minutes or two bites. Like this stuff, like training from those days still rolls in my head as a customer. And yeah, like that never shakes. And I'm always also trying to eavesdrop on server conversations in the side stand if I'm close enough, because half those conversations are never HR appropriate. And I love to hear them.
Oh, they're juicy.
Well, so juicy.
Another thing, I worked in the back of the house. I was in the kitchen through my restaurant time. And the contentious relationship between the front of house and the back of the house, entire plates of food being thrown one way or the other, it didn't matter, you know, cussing, sexual harassment, like on a level that you couldn't even imagine unless you've been in that type of environment. It you know, and of course I was doing this in the early mid 90s, and you know, nobody cared about sexual harassment really. It was just so awful. And I'm thinking, wow, how do people get away with that? And restaurants are such, you know, we shit on Chipotle all the time, but restaurants are such hotbeds for HR problems, especially the local mom and pop operated ones, the privately owned ones. But then again, we always talk about Chipotle, which is a national organization. You'd think they'd have their stuff together a little bit more.
I have a very distinct memory of working in a restaurant. And so this was like probably like 2005 to 2011 is when I was like working in restaurants. And do you remember? There was like that viral video of the two girls, one cup.
Oh, gosh.
I would say Google it, but please don't. Do not Google that. Just
please don't. Especially not at work.
No, don't.
You've been warned.
Do not. But anyway, I just remember when that video came out, I was cashing out in the manager's office, and there's two managers and a bartender, males. And they're like, oh, this video, gotta watch this video. Totally forgetting that I'm there. And they're like, close the door, we gotta watch it. I am locked in this office with these three dudes, forced to watch this video. And like now looking back on it, I'm like, hilarious, by the way. But I was just like, no, this is not HR approved.
No. The things I did in restaurants, I just, you know, as a teenager, I basically worked at the same restaurant from the time I was in 10th grade to the year I graduated from college. And up until recently, it was the longest job I ever held. I'd go away for school and I'd come back on winter break and summer break and still work there, but just the stuff we did the names and there. I mean, we in Nick. Oh gosh, nicknames. We should all be in jail. Yeah.
I had one that was not. We're just not going to repeat it, but there was definitely one.
Uh oh. Well, I think that's a good place to land a plane where we're not going to discuss your nickname. Maybe someone on our AMA can get you to beg you to twist your arm to reveal the nickname that you had.
Oh my gosh.
But our best practice of the day is, per Warren, leave us a review. Yeah. Get online, tell us, give us a review. We need those reviews. And as always, want to thank our Patreon supporters. And then the intro and outro music is the Underscore Orchestra, their song Devil with the Devil. And Andrew Culpa is our voice artist who does our intro. So as always, I'm Warren.
I'm CC.
And we're here helping you survive HR one what the fuck moment at a time.